morning. Whoa. Y'all aren't going to do that to me today. I'm too jacked up today. I'm going to start throwing stools and stuff at you. I want to actually get a couple volunteers. I'm just going to put some boys on the spot here. Dane, JD, and Caleb, any of you guys that just want to, three or four of you. You'll need to get you a chair. And I want you to set this table up. One of you can go ahead and set that up if you don't mind. Just set it up right there. It'll be fine. Get some chairs around it. That'll be good. Oh. Everybody doing okay? Golly, man. Should have brought a water gun or something. You guys know what to do with this here. Just go ahead and turn it on for us quietly. You know, just go ahead and get one going. We'll get to it here in just a little while. I want you guys just to, they had no ideas doing this to them. Just, you guys just get into it. Just go ahead and do your thing if you can without talking. It'd be fun just to watch your sign language if nothing else. It's good to see you this morning. Tonight, if you didn't know, the band is having a concert here tonight. For those of you that don't know, they travel a lot. And to help supplement incomes for all these guys, they sell CDs and T-shirts and all that stuff. Of course, they recently came out with a CD, and tonight is the official CD release. And so they will be selling the CDs. Pretty awesome. I have it. I'm a big fan of it. The Wonderful Exchange, that's where it's at, last track. Need to check that out. Some really good stuff on there. Some of the songs that they do here, some original stuff that they've written. Be sure to get one of those tonight. I won't say much more about it because I'll get to talking about that later in the message. Today we're talking about Love All. We're in Advent Conspiracy and this whole series. If you've missed everything up to now, go listen to the podcast. There's no way I can catch you up to speed with the things that we've covered. We have covered some bases in the last several weeks. And I've heard a ton of feedback from a lot of people about how this has really challenged them, how it's really challenged their families to think about their spending, their giving, their Christmas, and even what Advent is about. And if you didn't know, Advent is not just about the celebration of the birth of Christ, but it's also a celebration about the second coming of Christ, which is going to happen. If you didn't know, and if you've been somewhere else and you haven't been around, we've talked about that before. Christ is coming back. We are like a ticking time bomb here, okay? Time is winding down. Whenever he decides to come back, he's going to come back. We don't know when he's going to come back. He says we should be looking for him. And what he's saying when he's saying that is that you need to get ready. You need to do your thing. And so today we're talking about Love All, and I'll be honest with you, to me, this is doing our thing. What we're talking about today is the bottom line. We've been working up to this and to some of the stuff we're going to talk about next week, but we've been working up to this so that we could get to a point so that we could strategically get here. Last few weeks we talked about worshiping God fully, loving God with all of our hearts. We talked about spending less. We've talked about Advent and the whole Advent conspiracy being the thing that, the world has kind of turned this time of Advent into something, for it to make, great amounts of money off of and all of that kind of stuff. So in the spending less, we've been challenging people to pray about spending less. Don't keep buying, useless stuff for people that they're going to throw in the closet. Instead, if you want to get them something, that's fine. Our family has decided that we're going to get kids something. We're leaving the adults alone. This has completely rocked my family's world. Brother-in-law and sister-in-law called us this week. They just kind of have been getting in on it here in the last week or so. They have 8 kids. You think you got it rough. They got 8 kids from about 13 years old and down to a baby. And their 13-year-old and their 12-year-old. We're hanging out this week looking on the computer at the Advent Conspiracy website and really kind of seeing what this was about. And they watched the video that we've been watching every week and seeing the statistics and, how much it would, how much we spend on Christmas every year and how much it would cost to give water to everyone in the world that doesn't have water. And I'm not talking about like handing them a bottle of water. I'm talking about building wells, changing lives. And that stuff can be done in the name of the gospel, and you're going to have opportunity to be a part of that kind of stuff here in the next few weeks. And you'll see more about that today in the service. But they were checking this out, and their 13 and their 12-year-old looked at my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, and they just started crying when they saw this stuff. Their names are Michaela and Alyssa. I'm going blank. Alyssa was just recently adopted into the family, and as a kind of a distant relative that really needed to be adopted. And Alyssa and Michaela looked at mom and dad, and they said, "Just don't get us anything. We don't want it." And I think for us to get to that point where we're willing just to give up something, you know, just start somewhere. You know, maybe it's not that we give up everything like their hearts are telling them to do, and it's amazing that a child's heart is just so automatically like that, and that we would just assume every kid in America has to have like some kind of crazy toy this Christmas. But share that with your children. I'm not saying don't get them toys. We're getting our kids toys, you know. Not saying that. I'm saying start somewhere. Start somewhere and let God move through your lives and see what he can do. And so if you're going to spend less, the idea is that you just don't spend less, but that you're going to take what you've saved and you're going to use it to do something that matters. You're going to give more somehow. And maybe that's at your church. Maybe it's through your church in one of these mission projects. We've been talking about a ton of this stuff. In fact, if you go out today, there's a new sheet. We've been putting out sheets like every week. There's a new sheet that says Love All on top of it that's out there in the foyer on one of the tables. You can check that out on your way out. More ways that you can do things to help spend less, to be able to give more, to be able to do things for the kingdom with funds. And honestly, that's where we are as Americans. We're so into money, and God is challenging us, and he's just saying to us right now, and I feel this with all of my heart, that we've got to be real with everything that he's given us and not just talk about being Christians and not just go to church, but say, you know what? I'm going to actively pursue God with everything I own. Man, that's huge. We've been getting a lot of calls in for things like food pantry stuff. We just recently started a food pantry. And I just even to kind of start us out this morning, I just want to encourage you in this way. If God begins to speak to your heart about some type of ministry that could exist and you don't see it exist, don't wait for someone to start it. If you need help with it, please come to us. Joey Boykin, who's on staff, he is really over all of that stuff within our church. He's our community and culture pastor, cultural architect, missions, whatever you want to call it. He's over all of that stuff, and that's his heart, is that we're a part of that kind of stuff. We recently, I mean to put her on the spot, we recently had a lady in our church, Miss Carol, and she's here today, and she had a heart to help people in these kinds of needs. And she said, you know what? She just went to Joey, came to us one day and went to Joey and said, you know, I wanna start a food closet. Of course, we were kind of like looking around going, we don't really have any closets here. we made every space basically just big open spaces and everything. We've got a few like corners and stuff. And we said, you know what? It's important enough, we need to make a corner. And so she's just run with that. And we've had food given here in the last few weeks like you wouldn't believe. And most of you didn't even know it existed. Already, it's kind of turning into an opportunity for us to share the gospel with people by helping them where they are. And let me just say, this is not just a Christmas thing. We've been strategic here, letting you in on a little bit of the inside. We've been a little strategic here at using this season to help start to turn the ship of 24 Church in an outward direction that it's not been focused at that much in the past. We've been all about let's do things different to reach people that are, you know, aren't going to be reached by other churches. We've obviously done that stuff to the T. But now we're saying let's us as a body of people, let's us be about loving people in ways where they have needs so that we can minister to them and reach them for the gospel of Christ. And so God may speak to you. He may speak to you today during a message. Maybe he's been speaking to you in the last few weeks as we've been talking about some of this stuff. Maybe you've had this, you know, brilliant idea. You've never seen this done, but you got this idea. And if you did this and did that and you'd reach these people that have this need, it's not by accident. God wants to use you. He's not going to use me to start everything, okay? Don't wait on me to start everything. He's waiting on some of us, some of you, to start something. So, now let's get to the message. I thank you guys for coming and playing Risk today. They're down here playing Risk. If you've never played Risk before, we've kind of got like a Risk resurgence going on in 24 Church right now. If you'd like to play Risk, come and see us, because we play at least once a week, it seems like, something like that. And a lot of the college guys, just whoever that can, you know, will come hang. Some of the older guys of church, we all get together and hang and play a little Risk every once in a while. These guys, we get together at least once a week, and they love it because I always just spank the heck out of them when we play. And so that's really not true. I've only won once. But at least I won once, and that's better than none. Today, this love all, this idea of loving all, coming on the heels of worshiping God with all of our heart, coming on the heels of spending less so that we can give more to the kingdom, comes love all. And this is it. This is where it gets to, because it's been all for this, that if we love God, that we would love people. That if we're going to spend less and give more, it's because we're going to love those people, people that we don't know, people we may never meet. It may be homeless people. It may be people in another country. It may be your next door neighbor. I have found out in the last month, I have next door neighbors that have needs. And what's sad to say is that I didn't find out before the last month. And it doesn't take much to figure it out. I encourage you to do the same. This morning we're going to start with this verse that many of us have read before, and we've seen it on signs at football games, and Stone Cold Steve Austin tried to declare it as his at one point, and it's still from the book of John, John 3:16, and it says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Whoever believes. And I want to kind of let that hang there for just a second. Because I think for so many of us, we love this verse, because this verse says God sent his Son for me because we are whoever, right? But for so many of us, we're just glad with that. And we just want to leave it at that. And we're just like, you know what? We don't have to think about whoever is talking about. And the truth is that whoever is everybody. And it's meant for everybody. And it's meant for our neighbors, and it's meant for our families, and it's meant for the people that we dislike the most. It's whoever. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And therein states a key for us in our lives, that God would love us enough, and that he would love whoever enough, that he would do this ultimate amazing thing by sending his Son to die for us. Last week we talked a lot about the cross, and I got to tell you that today I don't know that it can be a whole lot different, because we can't really stray from the cross. Because it's on Jesus Christ that we build all of this. It's in the cross that we have the hope. It's in the cross that we have salvation. It is in the cross that we have life and freedom. And I don't know about you, but when I spend time dwelling on what God has done for me, and I understand what I have done against him so many times, and still every single day of my life, I keep falling down and I keep breaking God's heart, but yet he still loves me and he's still putting the cross there for me. and I'm just blown away by it. So it leaves me going, what can I do for you, God? Well, we're getting to that. Matthew chapter 28 has a passage of scripture that is a pretty well-known passage of scripture. And you could even say that our church was founded on this passage of scripture, if no other thing. And it says in Matthew 28, and this is kind of Jesus' last words. He's like on his way out of Dodge, and he's going back to be with the Father. And this is after the resurrection. And he's looking at his guys, and he's saying this. Verse 18 of chapter 28, the book of Matthew, says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. All nations. All nations. Baptizing them, making disciples, teaching the word to them. All nations. Let me ask you a question today. Do you love God? Do you love God? Because the truth of it is if we love God, we'll do what we can to fulfill what he's called us to do. Not because anybody makes you feel guilty about it at church. Not because you just love to do it, although our passions are things usually that God put in us so that we would be excited about doing his work. But because we love him. All nations. All nations. We've got all nations, and we've got a clock that keeps ticking. And that was what was in my heart when we started this church, is that we've got to do this as fast as we possibly can to reach as many people as we possibly can. I got to tell you, we have just barely even begun. It's real easy for us to look around, and for those of us that are normal 24 folk, to be able to say, you know what, this is a great place. We have a great building now. Our church is in a good place. I love this series we're in. It's really speaking to my heart. It's really moving me. And my question is do you only come for you? There's some other scripture. Mark chapter 12, the greatest commandment ever. Some Pharisees, Sadducees, hanging out with Jesus. Look at him. He's been saying things that are so off the wall to them that their heads are spinning. And they're the theologians of the day. They know it all. And they're looking at Jesus and they're saying, well, okay, Jesus. And they're trying to trap him because they would just as soon get rid of him, and eventually they figure out how to do so. But he's always back. And they ask him this question. What's the greatest thing of all? I mean, you're the Son of God. You're Jesus. What's the greatest thing of all? And the greatest thing of all, this is what Jesus comes back with. He comes back in verse 29 of Mark 12. And he says this, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord of God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Here you go. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all of your strength. Now watch this. Check this out. He gets asked a question for what? One? What's the greatest thing, right? One thing. And then what does Jesus do? This is what he does. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But then he says, the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. I love it. He takes a singular and he makes it a plural. There is no commandment greater than these. And in essence, Jesus is saying, if you love me, then you'll love them. You know, we know in our heart we want to love people, right? I mean, we say we love people. You know, some of us are like the most social people on the planet. Like, we've got friends galore. You want to go hang out? Oh, let's go hang out tonight. Let's call like 15 people. We'll go hang out. I'm that way. I love hanging out with people. I wear my wife out with it sometimes. There's always people at our house. We're just always, you know, just hanging out with people. And sometimes it's ministry, and sometimes it's just because I want to whip them at risk or whatever. You know, we're just hanging with people. We're loving people, just being with people. But do we love all? Do we love all? And do we think about loving people at other times of the year other than Advent? Because again, this is just a springboard. This has been a springboard to start taking our church in a direction where we begin to try to really minister to people. Not just teach the word here, but encourage people. Let people begin to blossom in their own ministries that don't even exist yet within our church, that they would be a part of doing things to reach people, that they would be a part of starting the food closet, whatever the next one is. We don't need two food closets. We need something else. What is it? I don't know. There's a huge need for a women's shelter. Ask Carl when you go out here, when you leave today. Ask him what he spends the most time going to house on weeknights and on the weekends, and it's domestic disputes. Time and time again, they're needing to try to help save ladies, women. And what do they have to do? They have to take them to another city. There's nowhere in Cheatham or Robertson County that women have a place to go, a safe house. There isn't one. They got to go to Nashville. They got to go to Clarksville. It's a big deal. Say, Chris, how do we do it? I don't know. Completely not my area of expertise. Want to talk to me about a Shelby Mustang? We can talk, all right? Women's shelters? I got no clue. I've served some food there a few times, okay? But somebody in here has a heart for it. And that's just one of many things that someone in here has a heart for. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength, basically everything that you've got. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. This is the heart of it. We can say, we can do. I've seen people in churches that do ministry that are like doers. I mean, they are doing like 15 things in the church. By the way, if you ever want to serve at 24, we obviously would love to have you. There's a lot of needs. In fact, I'll name a couple for you right now. Twos and threes last week had 24 kids in that room. We're needing to have in that room at least every week four volunteers, not two, because this is what happens. When you've got two and then 24, the two quit. Some of you have done that recently. You quit because there's so many, you don't want, you're throwing your hands up. When you, instead, like get your neighbor, get your friend to come help you. If you're a part of a church, you need to serve. You say, Chris, I want to love people, but I don't have time to go to the rescue mission. Start with something easy. You're here on Sunday mornings. Do something. Do something to show that you love people. Do something that God can use you in. You say, well, Chris, you know, I don't really love kids. Do you love their parents? Because their parents won't be in here if their kids can't be in there. We're getting close to the point where we're going to have to start thinking about two services. One of these days, it's going to come. Now, here's the glorious thing when that happens, because so many people hate missing a service, and that's a great thing. They don't want to do things like that a lot of times. But when that day comes, be two different hours. Serve 1 hour, go to church the other. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. We're not there yet, but we will be. God is calling us to love all, to love people. If you don't believe me, then check out this passage of scripture. The book of John, chapter 21, says this, one of my favorite passages of scripture. And I can only imagine what it must have been like to have been Simon Peter. And Simon Peter, just to kind of catch you up to speed, is the one that Jesus told him before he got crucified on the cross, you will deny me 3 times. And Simon Peter, of course, said, no, I won't. I won't do it. He's like, okay, I'm Jesus. I know. You're going to do it. And so, of course, Jesus goes. He's crucified on the cross. During the process of that, what does Simon Peter do? He denies Christ 3 times. Aren't you with Jesus? Aren't you with that guy that they're killing right now? No, no, not me. 3 times denies Christ. Jesus comes back from the dead, meets up with Simon Peter. Imagine being Simon Peter. It's like, oh, hi, Jesus. Jesus goes to Simon Peter, and this is their conversation in short. It says in verse 15 of chapter 21, when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, they ate before this. Simon had to sit through a meal before they talked about it. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, poor Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? Don't forget, he denied Christ 3 times. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. You see, if we love God, then we love people. I mean, it's just as straight up as that. We can love church, and we can love a band, and we can love a stupid preacher, or we can whatever. But if we love God, then we love people. I'm not talking about like that we're just nice to them. I'm talking about that we're doing things, we're giving up things to help bring them to the kingdom of God. That we're spending less so that we can give more. I love this game. I don't know what it is. It's a man thing, I think. It's the conquering thing. We talked about this during our you know, Men of God, Women of God series and stuff, but this game has something about it, and really the whole thing, it's all strategic. And the whole deal is that, you know, you want to try to get countries. You want to conquer countries, and we play Mission Risk. And here's the deal with Mission Risk. You draw a card, and on it's a mission. And you've got this mission on the card, and on that mission, you've got like, okay, conquer North America and Africa, or kill all of the blue guys, or, you know, whatever. And so, you know, you're setting out to do this mission. And as you're doing it, you know, if you can conquer over a country, even if it's not on your card, if you'll conquer that country, every time that you get a turn, you get already 3 armies to put out. So it's that many more armies you have to fight with against the other players. And so if you've got a country, like let's say you've got Australia. Well, if you own all of Australia and you've conquered all of it, you get 4 extra guys or 3 extra guys or something. 3, 2, extra guys. All right, you get two to go with your three. That's right. You get two to go with your three. So then you got five. So then you're putting out five every turn, as long as somebody doesn't come in on some of your land, because you got to have all the land. You can't have just a piece of it. And so it's this whole, like, you know, game of trying to have more armies so that you can fight against. So, and you can push all of your armies to certain areas and do what's called fortifying. And you fortify all of your armies into one area so that, you know, like, you know, if you got like 50 armies over here on this guy, and you got to get through this guy to get to your country, then the guy over here that's got like 10 guys, and he comes over here and he's like, ding, 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 he's dead. You see what I'm saying? Is this making sense? I know it's very scientific. The whole deal is it's a strategy. It's strategic. And you've got to think about it. And I think for so many of us, we say we love people. We say we want to be nice to people. We want to minister to people. We want our church to grow. We want, you know, people to come to the Lord. What have you done about that? Who has God placed in your life that specifically needs to be right there, or right back there, or right over there? Who is it? Because this is not for us. It's for Him. And the strategy is this. We've got to start being intentional on praying and thinking about the people that God has placed in our lives so that He can work through us to speak to them. And that's easier said than done, but it can be done. You don't believe me? Try 4 years ago, the first of this year, we started with 69 people. And for the last month and a half, we've probably averaged 310. They weren't all my friends. And I'll be honest with you, I'm still clueless where the 69 came from. People ask me that one a lot, and I shrug my shoulders. I don't know. God wanted to do something. We just kind of happened to be there. We're going to have to be strategic. We're going to have to be strategic as a church. We're going to have to be strategic as families. This holiday season is a springboard for you to be able to do that. We're initiating something in our church, and we're hoping to initiate something in families that they will begin to do God's work. Not just allow God to work in their lives, but to do God's work. That they'll love people enough to help take care of their kids. People in our kids' church right now are in there almost every week. They very rarely ever get to come to a service because we don't have enough volunteers to go and help relieve them. Tonight at the concert here, which is going to be different, there'll be some worship involved, but it's going to be concert-oriented as well. Just so you know, things will be a little bit set up a little bit differently and whatnot. But the whole deal tonight, we've been putting up flyers around Pleasant View. It's on the front of the exchange. The hope is that somebody will see it's a concert and they'll be like, oh, music, let's go do music. That sounds good to me. And it's a great opportunity for you to bring somebody tonight. Maybe you've got somebody in your life that you've been dying to get to come to our church, but you're afraid of what I'm going to preach about that Sunday. Don't think I don't know. I know what you're doing when you go, hey, what are you talking about next week? The Bible. Tonight's a great opportunity to get some of those folks to come. But I'll tell you what, it'll be a terrible night for them to come if we don't have people out there just wanting to hang out and greet people and love on people. And we haven't even asked greeters and people to do that tonight. Here's what I'm doing. I'm asking you as a church to show up and be ready to just love all. What do you think about them apples? That's what we're called to do. And we're called to do it in everything. And so I ask you, do you love God? Because if you do, you love all. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for your word. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be obedient to feeding your sheep. Pray, Lord, that we would be obedient to answering the call of ministry to those that you're speaking to our hearts right now. God, But God, to the people that you're speaking to their hearts, God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just speak to them just loud and clear today. God, that they would hear you in their hearts. They would know that the desire, the passion that they have to reach people is real and it's attainable because you're in it. Not because we're great, because God, we're not. We're idiots. But God, you're great and you want to use idiots to do great things. It's only by your power, the power of love, the 1 Corinthians power that perseveres, that always remains. God, that's the power of love, and it's your power. God, and I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be afraid to tap into it. God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't make it all about us and what we're capable of doing, but God, that we would look to you and say, God, if you want to do it, then you must be able to do it, and that we would trust in you and begin taking steps toward it, whatever it is. God, if it's something in our families, if it's starting with the Advent conspiracy stuff this Christmas, I don't even know, God. If it's a ministry that you want to start within our church, if it's kids that you want someone here that's sitting in these seats to impact the lives of, that they never thought they'd work with a kid. God, if it's somebody that you want to call to go stand in the parking lot tonight so that when people come in, they know that they're in the right place and that they feel welcome on the get-go, that maybe, just maybe, they might come back next week to hear your gospel. God, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. God, I pray for your power to work. May we love all. In your name I pray. Amen.